Amen. Praise the Lord for that special, and praise the Lord for the blessing of just being in the Lord's house this Wednesday evening. And I'd invite you to take your Bibles to turn to Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Philippians chapter 4. And, of course, tonight we will go over our missions budget here in just a few minutes. But wanted to take just a few minutes to share something the Lord has laid on my heart this evening. A brief message before we get into that. And so if you found your place, if you'll take your Bible, and if you found your place there in God's Word, if you'll stand with me, if you're able to this evening, we'll read our passage in Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll pray, and then you can be seated. The Bible says in verse 15, Philippians chapter 4, "Now ye Philippians know also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we do come before you this evening, Lord, we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your goodness to us, Lord. We're thankful for the opportunity once again that we have to be here tonight to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, to have fellowship, Lord, to have a time of prayer. And Lord, now to open up your word. And I pray that you'd help us to prepare our hearts to receive it, Lord. I know that many of our church family have been here this week, several hours and laboring, and many will be here tonight until the late hours of the night, Lord. And then, of course, with the conference this weekend, Lord, many will put in long hours. Lord, I pray that you would help us to clear our minds just for a few moments, Lord, that we might be able to receive what you would have for us tonight. Oh, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. And again, I know it's been a long week, and it will continue to be a long week, but let me encourage you, we're in God's house tonight. We're opening up God's Word. Let's get connected with what God would have for us this evening. I know that the Lord has something for us in His Word. Here in our passage, we see Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And I love it. He's commending this church, and I love this thought. When Christians are faithful to do what God has prompted them to do, boy, doesn't it bring joy to other people? When we take advantage of the opportunities that we have, that God prompts our hearts, and, you know, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and when we're saved, He takes up residence inside of us, and we are no longer the same. And as we go through life, the Holy Spirit prompts us to do things, and as we're obedient to those promptings, can I tell you, it not only brings joy to us, but it brings joy to other people as well. And Paul recognized this when he's speaking to this church at Philippi. They had sent a gift on more than one occasion to him. It was a great joy for the Apostle Paul. I think of the time that I've spent in ministry. I've not, obviously not had a great amount of longevity, but the Lord has allowed us for 16 years to labor in full-time ministry. And we spent 5 years in Cleveland, and then the last 11 years we've been here in Indianapolis. And I can tell you that there are certain people that you watch that God brings into the church, and they are prompted by the Holy Spirit's leading to do things, and it just ministers joy to other people. You look out and you see them using those God-given gifts that they have and expending energy. I can't help but think of those that have been laboring for this ladies' conference. It really is a team effort. And we all partner together and we come together, and it's a joy to see people using their gifts. I think about my own children. I just want to kind of illustrate this because it helps us understand where Paul was at as he's writing the church at Philippi. And those of you who have children, you understand this. Isn't it a joy when you see God working in their lives and when they labor and they minister for God? I for one, am thankful for a church like our church that allows our children to minister from a very young age. And I remember the boys when they were just in Awana clubs as little kids, and they would be allowed to preach a message in there, or they would be allowed in junior church to sing or do something like that. And I, just a couple weeks ago, my two oldest sons, they were preparing to preach at youth camp. And can I tell you what a joy that brings to a dad's heart? I was sitting in my office one day, and one of my sons calls me, and he says, "Hey, Dad," and he had a question about his message. And, I mean, he's preparing ahead of time. This is not something he's writing on the bus on the way down to camp, you know. I mean, they're putting effort and time into that. And I can just tell you this, as a father, listen, and you know this as well, There are plenty of negatives sometimes as you're raising kids, and there are plenty of things that you have to get onto them before. But what a great blessing to be able to see them serve God. And be able to launch out and use their gifts and their abilities for what God would have them to do. And so if you can imagine, as Paul is writing the Philippian church tonight, and by the way, as we study the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, those epistles that Paul wrote, sometimes he could not always commend the church that he was writing to. We think of the Corinthian church and how Paul had to somewhat get onto them for some of the things that they were doing for the in the name of church and in the name of God. But Paul is writing this Philippian church to let them know what a joy they've been to him. How refreshing in his time of need that they had followed the promptings of the Lord to meet the needs that he had. Now here's what I love about this. This is what brought joy to Paul. The fact that they were faithful to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That God had laid it on their heart to communicate with Paul concerning giving a financial gift to him. And not only had God laid that upon their heart, they were faithful to give to the Apostle Paul. That was the blessing there. Listen, can I tell you, the gift wasn't the source of joy. I mean, the gift no doubt brought joy. It was a blessing for Paul to be sustained. But can I tell you that Paul understood this? That even if the church hadn't met Paul's needs, God would meet his needs one way or another. And so the gift necessarily wasn't the source of joy. The source of joy was the fact that they had been obedient to do what God had called them to do. He says that in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Listen, this is not about the financial gift that you gave me. Praise the Lord for it. But what brought joy to me is that you followed the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life, and God has used that in my life. And not only that, now there's fruit that's going to abound to your account. Just because, church, you were faithful to what God had called you to do. You see, Paul wasn't merely out peddling money. And as I think about the missionaries that come through, and yes, the finances are a part of it. Listen, they don't travel here just for money alone. They travel here so that they can partner with us as a church to be able to take the gospel throughout the world. And listen, they need our prayers as well. And as much as we invest in finances, oh, we ought to invest the prayers for our missionaries as they're spread throughout the globe. It's not just about money. And so we understand that for Paul, it was a joy for him to see fellow Christians. And I want you to think about this. Some of these Christians, Paul probably led to the Lord. You go back to Acts chapter 16 when Paul came into Philippi, and what a tremendous passage as he was locked there in the prison and God had freed him and God allowed him to see the Philippian jailer saved, and there were some other folks that were converted there in that city, and a church was established there at that time. Some of these were people that Paul had won the Lord. And boy, what a blessing it was for him to be able to see them now. They're prompted by the Holy Spirit and they take advantage of the opportunities that God had given to them. And as I look at this passage, three thoughts I just want to share with you very quickly tonight, and I'll be very quickly. Is number one, and you may want to take some notes, but number one, we see from this passage that the Great Commission is a partnership. The Great Commission is a partnership. In verses 15 and 16, we see this. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And so we understand here from this passage that this church here at Philippi had partnered with the Apostle Paul. And in that partnership, they were faithful to give of the resources that they had, and Paul was faithful to go. And Paul had to have the resources, and the church had the resources. God used the church to partner with Paul to send him to the mission field. I heard of a preacher one time who had introduced a special project to his church family, and the goal was for them to get financially involved, and you may have heard of this before, and he said, the good news is we have all the money that we need for this project. And he said, the bad news is the money is still in your pockets. And so that pastor understood there's a partnership there. As the pastor needs to get something accomplished, he needs the people of God to get behind that. And yet we understand here the partnership of the Great Commission, the church partnering with a missionary to take the gospel. Now, can I say it this way? For a partnership to work, both sides have to put forth the effort. You know, praise the Lord for the missionaries that came through during the month of June. And listen, if all we ever do is shake their hand and say, good to see you, and we send them off, they're really not going to be able to do what God has called them to accomplish because the church is not doing their part in sending them there. On the other side, if we take our money and we invest in missions and we send it to the missionary there on the field and they don't do anything, if they don't work there and labor on the field, that partnership doesn't work. So we understand the idea of the partnership of the Great Commission. This church had partnered with the Apostle Paul. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to look at the Great Commission very quickly. And again, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, and I know we're familiar with the idea of the Great Commission, but I want you to examine it in light of this here for just a minute. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I love that idea, because before Jesus asked them to do something that would take some labor, he says, remember where the power comes from. I am the source of power. I am the source of all power, and you have me working through you. He came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave this great commission, and the truth is, as he spoke to these men, go back to verse 16 there in that same passage, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed unto them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, and then Jesus gave them the great commission. The ironic thing or the amazing thing is that Jesus gave the great commission to an 11 men there. And he said, listen, your responsibility is to take the gospel to all the nations. Well, we understand that now as you study that, you realize that those men made up what we would call the first New Testament church. The word church, it comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, called out assembly. You remember as Jesus went upon the shoreline and he called those disciples to him, he called them away from the life that they were living to form the first New Testament church. And so therefore we understand this, that the Great Commission was given to the church. And can I tell you tonight, quite honestly, as Lighthouse Baptist Church, as we assemble tonight, and as we examine the Great Commission, if it were up to us alone to fulfill the Great Commission, that would be quite overwhelming, wouldn't it? To reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we understand tonight that it's bigger than any one church and bigger than any one person. The Great Commission takes a partnership. We see that here in this passage. Faith promise missions allows us as Christians to be obedient in fulfilling part of the Great Commission. And let's understand this as well, as we're faithful to give to missions and foreign missions, let's not forget our responsibility here in Indianapolis. The Bible says we're to reach all nations, not just a foreign field or not just our own city, but listen, the Great Commission or Faith Promise Missions allows us to fulfill part of the Great Commission. So we see from that passage, number one, the Great Commission is a partnership. Number two, I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to see this thought there. God uses local churches to meet the needs of his servants. Now, that ought to excite us tonight, because we are a local church. It ought to excite us that God would take us and funnel through our hands resources that we can give to worldwide missions. But that's how God has partnered with the church to be able to give or fulfill the Great Commission. Now look at verse 18. Paul says this. He says, but I have all and abound. He had his needs met. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That God would use that church in Philippi to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul is something that's an incredible thought for us to think about tonight. That God would use us as a local church to be able to meet the needs of his servants. Listen, this is why it ought to excite us. Because my Bible, your Bible says that our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That our God doesn't have any want of anything. And here's the blessing, if we're willing to get involved, if we're willing to step out in faith, that God would place in our hands things and resources so that we might distribute them to his servants. That God would work through us. That's an incredible thought. Listen, every time I think about God using me, can I tell you it's an overwhelming thing? that God, the creator of the universe, would want to inhabit me and want to be inside of me and to use me to do his work. And yet we find that God uses local churches to meet the needs of his servants. God places things in our hands, resources that we might distribute to other people for the cause of worldwide missions. Listen, can I tell you that's a biblical thought? There's a biblical principle to that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 very quickly tonight. I want you to see this. This example, this New Testament example. The church at Macedonia. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God's grace was upon them. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." You begin to examine that verse, there's almost a paradox there. Here's what the scriptures say. This church experienced great joy and gave richly when they themselves didn't have anything. Stop and think about that. That they were able to give richly when they themselves had nothing. And it caused a joy in their hearts. Why? Because it was God funneling resources through them to give to the Apostle Paul. And I can imagine that church. I mean, they were dealing with persecution. Some of them didn't know maybe possibly where their next meal was going to come from. Some of them had lost their jobs because of standing up for Christ, or some of them may have had families separate from them because of their stand for Christ, and they didn't have anything. And then they got this opportunity to be involved with the Apostle Paul, to take resources that God had placed in their hands to distribute to him. For them, what an exciting thing. It's like a funnel. I love that thought of a funnel. What goes in the top comes out of that. That God would pour into us, not so that we would hoard and that we would hold back and that we would keep to ourselves, but that we would distribute when God prompts our heart to distribute to people, to missions. What a great blessing we understand there. The Philippian church, the Bible says, they sent time, and again, God was doing the same thing through the Philippian church. And here's what I love about this. Listen, God will do the same thing through our church. What a blessing to be able to examine the cause of Christ and worldwide missions through the Lighthouse Baptist Church and our involvement. God does the same thing today. God can still bring in resources for us to be able to funnel out and to give to the cause of missions. And then finally, we see in this passage, not only there, the Great Commission being a partnership, not only does God use local churches to meet the needs of his servants, but finally, number three, giving ensures God's blessings on our church and the individual givers. Giving ensures God's blessing. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul said this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Can I tell you that's a promise tonight? And we understand that. That's a personal promise. I love that thought. Paul says, my God, the God that I know, the God that I have a personal relationship with. The reason Paul could say that is because he had found God to be faithful. He'd find God to bless him. You see, Paul knew God personally and had seen what God could do through his life. I want to challenge you tonight. I want you to think about this thought. Have you seen what God is able to do through you as you live the Christian life? Have you experienced God's power working in your life, fulfilling things that you could not do on your own? Every Christian ought to have that experience. Ought to have that testimony that I've watched God take me. Listen, this is not about us, but it's about what God does through us. And every Christian ought to be able to look in our lives and say, listen, I understand, I've been there, and I've watched God work through me and accomplish things through me that I could not accomplish on my own. Can I tell you, if you know that, or if you want to see what God can do through you, it always requires a step of faith. It always requires that we would step out in faith, and God would prompt our heart. Listen, as you think about giving to Faith Promise Missions, you realize it takes a step of faith? Listen, most people don't have an unlimited amount of resources. And yet God prompts our heart to give to the cause of worldwide missions. It takes a step of faith for us to step out and see what God can do through us. Listen, when we step out in faith, we can apply that to several areas. We think about faith promise missions. We think about personal soul winning. Some of you here tonight know, you know God wants you to be a soul winner. And you might say something, boy, I wish I could just go and win souls. I tell you, it just takes a step of faith. It takes coming out. It takes partnering up with someone that maybe can teach you to win souls. What I'm simply saying, listen, if we're going to experience what God can do through us, we have to be willing to step out in faith. I think about maybe teaching a class or some other ministry. Someone would say, listen, I know God wants me to be involved in ministry, but getting up in front of people or being around and trying to do this, I don't know that I could do that. Can I tell you, it just takes a step of faith. God prompts our heart and we get involved. And we see it's a personal promise. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs. I know God personally. I've seen what God can do through me. And all of us need to have that experience. And then not only is it a personal promise, it's a generous promise. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, God can supply our needs when we're faithful to him. And can I tell you that it's not just financial needs? I believe God's riches don't just pay bills, but he blesses in numerous other ways. We've seen God in people's lives extend the life of a car. Now, I'm not talking about being dumb and bypassing regular maintenance and those kind of things, but I'm saying there's some people that God just continues to give them the blessing of a car that the life is extended long beyond itself. Sometimes it's the life of a major appliance that they don't have money to replace, and God extends the life of that. Sometimes it's God causing good health, or God giving a healing, or sometimes it's God bringing into our life a friendship, a relationship, someone that we need in an hour in which we need it. I'm just simply saying that how God chooses to bless us is up to him, but we know he will. We have this promise from Scripture that God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want to look at verse 20 and we'll be finished. He says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, this is the key in every situation in the Christian life, that God would get the glory. This is God's purpose in everything that he allows in our life, so that he would be glorified, whether it's being involved in faith promise missions. Listen, you realize God gives us that opportunity as individuals? I think you understand this tonight. If God wanted to fund the missions program through some other way, he could have done that. But the reason he allows the church to get involved is not so the church can stand up and say, this is what we've done. They can say, this is what God has done through us. The Macedonian church, it wasn't about them. It was about what God did from that through them. And listen, can I tell you, that church has been an example to so many people because of what God could do in their lives. When we're able to be involved in faith promise missions, praise God, it's that God would get the glory. Or maybe it's a ministry. Listen, when we are involved in ministry, it's not about what God does in that ministry or what we've done in that ministry, but what God does through us. If people are saved, praise the Lord for it. It's what God has done, and it's God that gets the glory. Maybe it's sometimes when we deal with a health concern. Listen, God allows these things to come in our lives so that God would get the glory through that. And here's what I would say, if we'll approach every opportunity in the Christian life with that mindset, God will be glorified in our life. God, I just want you to get the glory. As we turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, let me read this and we'll be finished. The Bible says in verse 20, Paul's testimony, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I say tonight, Paul's hope should be our hope. If we have opportunity to give in our life, that God would be glorified, that was Paul's hope, and that ought to be our hope. Listen, God places resources into my hand. God prompts my heart to give to faith promise missions. Praise God, and God be glorified for that. That's my desire, that God would work through me and that God would be glorified in my life. If we have opportunity to minister, praise God for that, and God be glorified for that. If we have opportunity to suffer as we live the Christian life, listen, we may not enjoy those times of suffering, but God can be glorified through that. As Paul said, whether it be by life or by death, God is glorified. Listen, as we examine this idea of this church communicating with Paul, this financial gift, the reason God allows us to partner with him in Faith Promise missions is so that he can get the glory. So that God can be glorified through his people. And that applies to every other area of the Christian life. The reason that God would use us is so that God would get the glory. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Here in just a moment, we'll go into just a brief business meeting, but I don't know how the Lord has used this message, and we'll give you a time. We won't have a musical invitation tonight, but if God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you either there in the pew or here at the altar to ask the Lord just to help you. If there's a decision that needs to be made, maybe someone's considering this idea of getting involved in Faith Promise missions. Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, as we examine this church, and Lord, how they glorified you when they were allowed to be involved in your work. Lord, we desire that in our own lives. Lord, I pray there may be someone tonight that you're prompting their heart to take a step of faith in one area or another. It may be in the area of giving, Lord, and they've maybe looked at a budget that doesn't seem like it'll support that, Lord, and yet we're reminded that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Lord, you just choose to allow us to be involved. Maybe there's someone in here that, Lord, feels a prompting to be involved in a ministry or to be a better soul winner, Lord, or just some other area. Or maybe there's someone in here, Lord, that's going through a trial right now. And Lord, they realize tonight that you can get the glory out of these things if we'll just stay faithful to you. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts, Lord. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.